Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Rondo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the notify bell next to it. YouTube has been on an unsubscribe tear. We've been hearing from all sorts of people saying that I'm not subscribed. So I don't know what to tell you. Just look, we do these things every single day. Check in on the daily with Going In Raw,
yeah.
And we'll have some stuff for you.
Yeah,
we're also available wherever you can find fine podcasts or even crap podcasts. We're there, especially the CastBox app. It's a great podcast app. Check it out. Download it free iOS or Android devices and go to the Going In Raw podcast. And then you could subscribe to us there. Really helps the show.
It does.
Leave a comment. We might hit you back. We might read one on the air. We're also available on, of course, the iOS podcast app as well. And if you subscribe to us using your iOS podcast app, it really helps us rise in those ratings, the rankings, or whatever.
Yes.
What you got there? You going to read a comment on the CastBox?
Sure. Evan Jones, I've been listening to you guys on YouTube for a couple of years now. I don't miss anything WWE related. You guys make not having cable a lot easier. Thank you both. Your hard work and all the laughs, too sweet, and a hearty handshake. Thank
wow.
you, Evan Jones.
What
thanks,
a,
friend.
What a fantastic little email there, a little comment.
Great
there.
Comment.
Well, how many comments do we have? Are we at 700 yet?
Not quite 700. We are at 688.
We're only 12 away from being at the magical 700 number.
Well, after that, then we got to strive for 1,000.
Road to 1,000.
Let's get to 1,000 by Money in the Bank.
Road to 1,000.
June 17th.
Begins right now.
So in about 3 weeks.
We need, 212?
Yeah.
212 comments.
In about 3 weeks.
Let's do it, people. Let's do it.
That's 10 comments a day.
10 comments. I'm sure we can manage that. We can manage that. That's easy.
Yeah.
All too easy.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees. Did you mention that yet? I don't think you did. Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw. There's a sale starting tomorrow. That's Friday.
Yeah.
Over at Pro Wrestling Tees, where if you buy 5 shirts,
mm-hmm.
you'll get 25% off your entire order.
It's basically like buy 4, get 1 free.
Kind of.
I mean, the math works out.
Yeah, more or less.
Anyways, we're also on Patreon, and today it's May 31st. It's the last day. The last day before you got to wait a whole other month to get your Friendo Care Package, even though I'm very late. I'm just about to send out the ones from April. Now that March is finally done, I've sent those out. We're going to sign 27 comic books in the Friendo Care Package. Look at that. Oh, wait, look, the image.
There's a little bit of us
look.
On top of
there. There you go. Look at that. You get a comic book. You get these posters. I'm going to go grab one of those posters, Larson.
All right.
Because they look like $1 million.
Yeah, it's good looking stuff. Also, if you just donate or contribute $5 a month, you can take part in our live stream for our Raw SmackDown 205 Live NXT reactions right now here in chat. We got about 33 people, and they're all discussing how much gas costs in their respective areas of the country. What? Whoa. Yeah, that is a bummer. My favorite part of this whole segment is you left the graphic up this entire time. So it's like a solid minute of...
Well, that's good salesmanship.
Friendo Care Package.
That's really good salesmanship.
So yeah, if you're interested... $20 a month. It only takes one $20 contribution. You get all that.
Just one time. Make sure we get your money, and then you can hit cancel or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you can keep going. I don't know. If you at $20, you can send your video questions to MatChat too.
Correct.
That's a good deal. You get to be on internet.
Yeah. That's 4 questions for 1 month. $20 plus all that stuff. What?
Nice couple of episodes we're going to review today.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
205 Live. with a possible
match of the year contender.
Now, I'm not going to declare it match of the year.
Well, it's too early for that. There's a lot of year left.
But, man. Well, yeah, Ricochet Velveteen Dream is match of the year. Hasn't even happened yet. That's totally going to be match of the year. Yeah, that is right now match of the year.
All right.
Just that spot from last night is match of the year.
I mean, after that, I had no choice but to wear my Ricochet t-shirt today.
What's with Fabian Aichner falling down on EC3 from like 100 feet up?
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
You got those, a lot of height on that jump.
Those guys need to be careful. Anyways, 205 Live and NXT, both a couple of really good episodes.
Yeah.
205 Live mainly because of that freaking Cruiserweight Championship match.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of only two matches on the whole show. The show kicked off with a really well-done hype package, video package for Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander. Good stuff, well put together. Production team over at WWE usually does a bang-up job.
Top-notch.
And this was no exception.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a really long hype package, too, because I watched the beginning of 205 Live, like the first match on like Tuesday, I think. And then last night I watched the rest of it. And I was fast-forwarding because I had to start from the beginning again. I didn't have the resume thing for whatever reason. And I was fast-forwarding, and it was literally like 6.5 minutes before that match was actually starting.
Yes, it was really
a
long.
Very
really
long
well
hype package. But it was really well done.
Really well done.
First match was Jack Gallagher and Brian Kendrick, your favorite tag team.
I feel like they would rather be doing something else.
You think so?
That's the vibe, especially from Brian Kendrick.
But they won last night. They're about to have a new trio. If they're going to do these tag championships, they really do need to be trios. It's kind of obvious.
Agree.
It's all
like
three-man teams.
I agree,
teams.
But I'm just saying, I just feel like Brian Kendrick, like just based on the quality of matches he's been putting on since he's come back.
Is he snoozing through these things? Do you think
like
so?
It.
Wow.
I'm not going to accuse him of that
officially
because I don't
he's
know.
He's also old, man.
Oh, I understand. I just feel like he's not really into what he's doing.
Yeah. Maybe. That could
be.
So
you think back, even you know when he was involved, granted he was involved in the title picture, he's putting on some good matches. He put on some great matches in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, man.
And now I think because, and maybe it's partially because their gimmick now that they're going to get involved with Gulak is, you know, ground-based wrestling. You know, like Kendrick can do a lot more than just that.
Yeah, true.
He's a pretty well-rounded competitor.
And
I just wish he was able to use his full arsenal of moves.
Yeah.
And not be restricted to just being a ground-based guy strictly. Gallagher makes sense. I wish if this was Gallagher, Noam Dar, and Drew Gulak, cool.
Yeah.
I think that'd be interesting.
Wow. You're anti-Brian Kendrick.
No, I like Brian Kendrick. I want him to be doing something else that seems more exciting
that
for
you
him.
Feel he wants to do. We should hit him up on Twitter and say, are you happy right now? Are you okay? Is there anything we can do, even in the form of a hug or a friendo care package?
Yeah.
If you'd like a friendo care package, all you got to do is send us $20.
No, you wouldn't send one to Brian Kendrick for free?
$20. Why does he get special treatment?
Because he's a WWE superstar.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Seth Rollins slid into our DMs and said, hey.
Hey.
Hey, I really like your guys' show.
Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say, hey, Seth, appreciate it. Here, we'll send you a friendo care package.
20 bones or GTFO my DMs, God. Seth. Kobe, get out of here with that. 20 bones. By the way, for people who weren't tuning in yesterday, that was not urine that you just drank.
No, this is green tea.
That looks like extremely dehydrated
urination. Yeah, you have to be really dehydrated. This is green tea.
You had a piss test?
I can't drink coffee nonstop in days like today where I'm tired because I'll just get jittery.
Yeah.
So I got to... drink. I had like 2.5 cups this morning.
Man.
Now I'm drinking green tea, and then after lunch, I'll have more coffee.
Buddy, you're a wreck.
I'm not a wreck. I'm just tired.
You know what? I'll give you a friendo care package for $20.
I can just go. I have one at home.
Do you want me to lend you $20 to buy a friendo care package?
I have $20 at my disposal, but I already have one. Thank you.
You know who Lindsay Dorado looks like? Freaking Ulysses. He looks like super in shape Ulysses. When he was talking on that Lucha House Party promo last night and there was a big close-up on him, I hadn't really paid attention. Maybe they did close-ups on him before. I think I actually thought this before. That fool looks exactly like Ulysses.
Interesting.
Weird.
I haven't noticed that.
Watch it back again.
All right.
And you will put it together. It's insane. Anyways, Drew Gulak was on commentary. Hey, he's rising up my list of guys who I'd be totally cool with listening to on commentary.
Oh, yeah, that
if
was
he
good.
Retired.
Yeah, I like when he spoke about the translation of Lucha Libre. It's free fight. He said he learned that from Babelfish.
Yeah.
Which I've heard that name, but I'm not sure I know what
that
is.
Isn't that a... I think it's a
translation website, right? Something like that?
It's not a learn Spanish thing or learn languages thing? Why didn't he say Rosetta Stone? Let's see.
Oh.
Is it just translation?
Yeah, I think it's just translation. Yeah.
Free translation. There you go.
Yeah.
Ah, that's funny. You should have said Rosetta Stone. It's funnier. Anyways, is it called Rosetta Stone?
Yeah. Where you learn languages? Yeah. It is Rosetta Stone, yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Anyways. Fun match. I mean, you know, it's a Lucha House Party match. They
have those guys
noisemaker
great.
Things.
Yeah, those guys are great.
Drew Gulak hates those noisemaker things. But it was fun. It was cool. It was just, you know, I was like, let's get a move on. I want to see this Murphy-Alexander match.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they gave it the whole hour.
Yeah, I know. It would have been cool. And they could have pulled it off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, Drew Gulak did interfere in this match.
Yeah, he pushed Lince Dorado off the top rope, and he's going for a move. And then Brian Kendrick put Lince in Captain Hook.
Yeah.
Lince taps.
Boom. Ulysses tapped out.
Gallagher and Kendrick win.
The repackaged Undead Commissioner tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they get the win, and they all shake hands on the way back up the ramp. I believe we saw the formation of a new trio. Drew Gulak is officially out of the title picture. I figured he'd be in, but he's not in there. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Maybe he's in a different title picture. The trios title.
The trios. I hope so, man.
That'd be neat.
Fancy new belts.
Yeah.
Bringing a ton of new talent. Because you're going to need, obviously, you'd need a lot more people.
Yeah.
Who? What, give me another team. Mark Andrews, Noam Dar, and whom? A little UK guy.
Tyler Bate.
Oh, I want him to be in the UK show.
Oh, I do too, but he's been on 205 Live before.
True.
Joseph Connors.
Jordan Devlin.
All right.
There you go.
He's in the tournament coming up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Little tiny Finn Balor is what he looks like. Like an even smaller Finn Balor mm-hmm. with a giant gash on the back of his head. Did he ever get that taken care of?
I think he got that taken care of. Okay. I don't think he'd be wrestling if he had it, still had a giant head wound.
Right. I would hope not, but that's a cool gimmick. That'd be a fun gimmick. Guy who has like it's like Massive Edwin Terry from Saturday Night Live,
yeah.
but like a wrestler. And the dog always comes and tries to pull it off.
But it's a situation where it's just like week after week, match after match, they try to do the best they can to keep it together.
Yeah.
But since it's constantly being busted open because he's wrestling all the time,
right.
It just never heals.
Yeah. How much cocaine do you think they were on to come up with Massive Edwin Terry?
Oh, I don't know.
All the cocaine? Probably. Oh, man.
Next, we had a Mustafa Ali promo where he says Buddy Murphy's not going to be the guy to get mm-hmm. that Cruiserweight title off Cedric Alexander. It's going to be Mustafa Ali.
He said, I told Cedric, friend to friend, it's not going to be Buddy Murphy. It's going to be me. Good old Mustafa Ali.
Yeah. Next, we had a Tony Nese promo where he was rooting for Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, man. He said he's unstoppable.
Let's say that's a trio's, two-thirds of a trio's team. Tony Nese, Buddy Murphy. Who else should join them?
Who else is a body guy?
I know.
How big is Hangman Page? Can they bring him in? No, he's a big dude.
I think he's
a big dude.
I think he's too
heavy. He's a stud.
I think he's too heavy.
Marty Scurll. He's not a body guy.
No.
Who else then? TJP.
Well, he's going to go to SmackDown, isn't he?
That'd be cool. I really want that to happen. I really want that to happen.
Yeah.
Who's on the roster? Who do we got? Hold on. Moro Ranello. Oh, body guy. Cool.
Let's see who else is a body guy, as you like to put it.
Neville. Your body is not at the Neville level. Time to do some squats.
I miss Neville.
Akira Tozawa. He doesn't have a home now. Not really a body guy, but it could be his thing. It could be, you know how he like tried to be GM, tried to be the boss? He could try to be big buff body guy.
He can go out and buy one of those jackets looks like these. It's all muscle.
Right. Or the George Michael muscle suit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arrested Development.
I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anyways, let's talk about this. Oh, and then there was a Drake Maverick interview where he just hyped it up. Big fight feel.
Yeah.
We've got here in True Fun Life.
It's interesting. They haven't done a ton. They've done some to build up this match, but he was correct. It does have a big fight feel.
I know.
This match really did.
No, I agree. Totally.
So let's get into it. Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander for the Cruiserweight title. Fantastic match. Hard hitting. They gave it a ton of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just all around great stuff.
So the thing that I really liked, I liked a couple things about this. I like number one, that the match seemed to have different chapters.
Yeah.
So it started off kind of them sort of.
As one-upsmanship.
Exactly. Yeah. On familiar ground, them countering each other. And some showboating, you know, anything you can do, I can do better type stuff.
Yeah.
Is that some life insurance that's calling you right there?
No, I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah. Anyways, it was showmanship, you know, one guy would do one thing, another guy would counter, get into his face, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So there was that. Then they took it outside, and there were some really brutal spots outside. So they're really, really taking each other to task. Very physical, very violent on the outside. They brought it back in, and they started doing some strikes. Mm-hmm. Then it became all about like trying to counter each other's strikes, mm-hmm. and they were just laying into each other with these forearms and kicks and more
knees,
forearms and knees. And that went on for seemingly ever. That went on for so long. And then at that point, it became a game of attrition. It was just wearing each other down. And it was like just four or five really, really well-told chapters in this overall story. I'm really kind of disappointed that they didn't put the title on Murphy. I thought it was a great opportunity. I'm not sure when the title is going to be defended again, like if it's going to be on a pay-per-view. I don't know if it's going to be at Money in the Bank. But I came up with the story because Buddy Murphy's personality and kind of Cedric's road to the title and subsequent title victory got me thinking, I wish they would have had a Rocky III scenario, Larson.
Mm.
Buddy Murphy is Mr. T.
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang, thank you. Clubber Lang. Cedric Alexander. But what they would have had to have done is have Drake Maverick, understanding that Cedric Alexander is this guy that everybody loves. He's a great champion. So what does he do? He tries to keep that title on Cedric by having him face chumps. Cedric kind of understands this. Buddy Murphy, meanwhile, is destroying people like Mustafa Ali, I don't know, Jack Gallagher, Drew Gulak, all these other guys.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to Buddy Murphy, Cedric Alexander has this kind of false sense of confidence.
All right.
Goes in there, gets annihilated by Buddy Murphy. He takes the title. Cedric Alexander then has to go train with Apollo Creed on the beach. They hug it out on the beach, and then he's in his corner for when he beats Buddy Murphy.
All right.
I don't know. That was a literal translation of
that
what
really
happened in Rocky III.
I really
do like the idea of Buddy Murphy coming in as a sort of Clubber Lang guy.
Yeah.
A guy who can barely make weight because he's so massive.
Yeah, I know. I like that's their way of making Buddy Murphy the monster heel of 205 Live.
And he's got that attitude
that
just works so perfectly. I really do kind of feel like they I'm not going to say dropped the ball because it was a fantastic match, but I feel like they could do, and I hope maybe they'll extend this feud out a bit more.
Yeah.
But man, I think Buddy Murphy was a great guy for a short term period. Anyways, take that title off Cedric and build Cedric back up, and give us another couple of matches like that because I think it was really, really fantastic. And it's a shame. And they really had the crowd into it.
Oh, I mean, it definitely benefited from being in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
because the crowd was totally behind Cedric.
And I understand that if this was it's such a double-edged sword. Like if you put this match on pay-per-view, you're going to cut 20 minutes off it. Like literally 20 minutes mm-hmm. off the match mm-hmm. and get it to like a 12-minute match if that.
So, sort of like what we had at WrestleMania between
Ali and
Cedric Alexander.
So you have to have this match at 205 Live and give it 30 minutes, which they did, to get that crowd really into it because that crowd by the end especially were really, really into it.
Oh, yeah.
So no, it was I was
that
I thought
one
was fantastic.
Spot where Buddy Murphy powerbombed Cedric Alexander, and then Cedric kicked out, and immediately Buddy got in position for the double wrist lock knee to the face.
Yeah,
gosh,
there was one kick out that the finish of this match was so fantastic too. All the false finishes. There was one in particular that I thought was such a small thing, but Cedric kicked out not with his open shoulder, but with the shoulder that was under Buddy Murphy. So for that split second that the ref is going down to count three, everybody's looking at the shoulder they think is going to pop up, and it doesn't. So they're like, oh, crap, this is over with. But then you see the shoulder underneath mm-hmm, Buddy Murphy mm-hmm, come up.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little thing like that that I was like, oh, wow, that's actually really cool. You're using your shoulder, which you wouldn't usually kick out with. So there was a lot of really cool stuff going on in that match. I thought it was just really, really well done. And yeah, I would put it in there on the list for match of the year contenders.
It's already on the list.
Good job, well done. Anyway, so yeah, Cedric Alexander comes out of it with a lumbar check after two. What do they call those kicks?
Neuralizers.
Neuralizers, where he does the cool
handspring.
Yeah.
Kick. Yeah.
Yeah. And I haven't seen that level of character performance from
since
him
the Cruiserweight Classic since this, his match this, against this, Kota Ibushi. Yeah. Yeah,
and I know, like, you know, he's had some similar outings. We've talked about his matches before. I think maybe with
he had one really good one on with Mustafa Ali,
probably Mustafa Ali
after
yeah.
the whole Enzo thing happened.
Yeah, and it was definitely up there, but I think this is definitely sort of the successor to that match.
Mm-hmm.
So well done. Let's move on to NXT.
Yeah, a show kicked off with
a packed show.
Yes, I can confirm it was a packed show. Aleister Black came out with the NXT title, dropped a promo.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, you know, whoever steps up to try to take this belt from me will fade to black.
It's been a life-changing opportunity having this title.
Yeah, he was pretty casual to kick things off. He's like, wow.
Yeah, wow. This is great. I was able to expand my ice cream fleet by 3 trucks because of this
NXT.
Three many trucks.
So anyways, he's quickly interrupted by Lars Sullivan.
Yeah.
Lars Sullivan says he talked to Mr. Regal.
Mm-hmm.
They have a match for the title
mm-hmm.
at NXT TakeOver Chicago. So we'll be Lars versus Aleister Black for that belt.
Lars is a great promo guy. He's got the weirdest looking face, man, but he's a great promo guy. I love him when he talks, man. It's so weird because he looks like a wrestler from like 1908.
Yeah, I know.
You know? But then he's, you know, opening his mouth and he sounds so eloquent. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Aleister Black tries to deliver a black mask.
Oh, monster
on Lars, moments. And Lars catches it. The crowd gasps.
Looks at it like, this is all you have right here? Just yeah. studies his foot.
Yeah.
And Aleister's like sitting there with his dick out basically like, oh, this is
oh, dang. This is bad.
Oh, dang. Because he prefaced it during his promo. He was saying, you know, it just takes one shot. Talking, mm-hmm. of course, about the black mask.
And then Lars hits Aleister with a freak accident. Lays
yep.
him out.
Yep. Good stuff. Next up, we had the War Raiders versus George Hickson. Talk about a name from 1908. George mm-hmm. Hickson. Mm-hmm. And Cody Vincent, this was not really a match. In fact, the very first thing was George Hickson running full steam at Ray Rowe
yeah.
with a forearm that Ray Rowe, like, literally didn't move. He just did it. And he just sort of looked at it like, what was that supposed to be, George Hickson?
Yeah.
And then just completely annihilated him.
Complete annihilation. Both Raiders go over with fallout.
Yeah, this was not really a match.
No, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Next, we had a video package hyping up the main event of the night, which mm-hmm. was Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title.
Yeah.
Recapping their story.
Yeah, Dakota Kai, very scared.
Yeah. Next, a Lacey Evans interview.
Mm-hmm.
So
they talked about
her beating Kairi Sane last week.
She's got a win. Kairi has a win over her. So next week it's gonna be the rubber match.
Mm-hmm.
And Lacey Evans just said, "I've got
a right."
Yeah,
a woman's right.
A woman's right. That's the name of her
finisher.
Finisher. After that, we had a fairly entertaining match. It was fairly quick, and it did more to service Johnny Gargano than
yeah.
anything. But holy crap, there was one spot in it that I was really chuckling at. It was EC3 versus Fabian Aichner, who I like a lot. He's good. Anyways, like, you know, there was some decent back and forth. It wasn't too long before Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, he came out through the audience. I thought he had like a petition in his hands or something.
Right, yeah. So this is the weird thing, though. Earlier in the show,
they just mentioned something about them having a street fight at TakeOver.
Well, they had a Candice LeRae tweet.
Yeah.
And she said something along the lines
of, I don't support this street fight.
I'm not a big fan of the street fight.
Yeah.
But then later on, Gargano comes out with his contract.
To announce the street fight.
To announce
but
the street fight.
But even before the tweet, they announced it something. I can't remember the context, but they announced something for it at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think they just had a graphic for it.
I kind of feel like they misordered that.
They did, definitely.
Okay, right on. Because he comes out there to the crowd. Oh, and by the way, another thing about the, and I'm kind of curious as to the whys, but it goes into the I imagine it goes into the logistics of the show. This was totally two different tapings smashed into one. Because you see our friend Karen?
Yep.
She was right there front and center, and then whoop, right around the corner wearing something completely different.
Yep. Definitely noticed it was two different shows.
Yeah. But it was just for the Ricochet stuff. I forgot who Ricochet fought. Oh, by the way, I figured out who Chris Dijak could totally be. I'll get to that in a bit.
He's top-notch super best.
Oh, he looks like him, doesn't he? That's right.
I said that, and you're like, no. And I was like, no, he could be top-notch.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. After looking at him again, he totally looks like top-notch
he could be top-notch.
Anyways, so Gargano comes from the crowd. He's got his contract.
Waving it around, goes to commentary, picks up a mic, and says, right here I have a contract. Says that I get a street fight with Tommaso Ciampa.
Alex Foster said,
at TakeOver.
Is that the only shirt Gargano has is his own?
He's got a suitcase full of them.
He's got a bunch of them, yeah. He says, street fight. Everybody goes, yay.
How is a street fight really going to be different than a no DQ match, though?
This really should have been. I get what you're saying in terms of, because I know they were going to do
last man standing, and then they decided to do that with AJ and Nakamura instead.
And I get your point that an I Quit match is kind of the same thing, but it kind of isn't. Because an I Quit match should go to the egos involved.
When did I say an I Quit match was kind of the same thing?
Yesterday.
In what context?
Because I said that I would have preferred that been an I Quit match. For yesterday or last week.
Styles for Nakamura?
Yes.
I didn't think I said it was the same thing. I said,
I know you didn't say it was the same thing. I said you said it was kind of the same thing. No, I think we were talking about this too. I don't know. Maybe it was last week. I don't know. At some point, I said, I really wish they would have done an I Quit match. And then you countered with, well, they're doing something similar with AJ and Nakamura. That's probably why they didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I still would have preferred this. I don't give a damn what's happening on Money in the Bank. An I Quit match. To me, an I Quit match is so much different simply because.
No, I agree.
One guy has to.
No, what I was referencing is that there was reports that they were going to make Gargano Ciampa
last man standing.
But yeah. Since they did with Styles Nakamura, they decided to do Street Fight with this.
Gotcha.
And I said they were doing something similar, so they changed one. Not that they shouldn't do it. I Quit. I agree. An I Quit match would be great for these two.
Because of the ego thing and the personalities involved.
Totally.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, it would be good.
Fantastic. Because a Street Fight, it's going to be good. It's going to be fine.
But again, it's not that different than what they did before.
I know. I mean, they're going to be wearing jeans probably.
Maybe. Ooh, maybe Ciampa will wear his camo pants.
Yeah, maybe. He could just wear what he always wears. Like,
yeah. Gargano. And Gargano could wear what he wore last night.
Yeah, exactly. With a Gargano shirt.
Yeah.
But like knee pads over.
Of course.
Right.
And jeans tucked into boots.
Right, yeah. GC. Exactly. It's going to be fine. It's going to be good. I just give me one more match after this one. It's an I Quit match. That's what it's got to be.
All right. And then the person who says I quit actually leaves NXT.
And gets a lot more money on main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways,
EC3 picked up the win with his finisher as like a TKO.
But not before.
Oh, Fabian Aichner.
So after Gargano leaves.
Fell from the heavens, basically.
EC3 is like walking and being like, okay, well.
He's on the outside.
Figure this out. He's on the outside. You see Fabian Aichner, because I watched the replay of this, or I watched it over. Fabian Aichner is in there. He runs. In advance of EC3, he jumps up on the top turnbuckle and leaps, I swear to God, 100 feet up into the air.
Yeah, he did descend from the heavens.
And he just falls from, like, the top of the frame onto EC3. And I was like, oh, my God, that's like...
It was super high.
200 and whatever, 20 pounds or whatever it is, falling onto EC3.
Yeah, EC3 didn't seem to mind it too much, though.
No, he didn't. He just tossed him back in and...
Hit a couple moves, hit his finisher, picked up the win.
Yeah. Man. He is the 1%.
He still feels like he's just going straight to Maine, though.
Oh, yeah. He's built for Maine, dude. He's going straight there.
I don't even know why he stopped in NXT.
Next up, we had a Bianca Belair video.
This was really cool. This is really
because
well done.
Because he needs to learn what it's like to work with a
professional company.
Company. I know. Exactly, yeah.
I really enjoyed this Bianca Belair video package.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed very genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And relatable, even though...
Oh, I loved this.
Yeah.
Because there was all sorts of great vintage photos of her family from like a ways back. Mm-hmm. Like my grandfather was this, my dad was this, and I was
it was great, yeah.
Oh man, this is fantastic.
I know, I love when they do these video packages that are kind of in character but kind of not.
Oh yeah.
You know, because she was still saying, you know, I'm the EST, I'm the strongest.
Oh, she was saying I was built for success.
Yeah.
Like I was created
but at the same
to
time,
be successful.
You see, you know, what led to her getting to NXT.
Why she can claim that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she comes from a lineage of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was great.
And the performance was great. Everything was great about it.
It was very grounded, but still, like you said, kind of in character because she's like just talking about how great she is. No, it was fantastic. Ricochet versus Top Notch Super Bez. I was kind of surprised. I wasn't as clued into Ring of Honor when Donovan Dijak was hot there as I am now. And even now I'm not that clued into Ring of Honor. There's plenty of people there I probably don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of surprised that they didn't give him a bigger, that they didn't make a bigger deal out of him.
I don't know. Was he ever that huge of a deal in Ring of Honor?
Okay. Here's my only thing. This is the only thing I'm going by, okay?
I mean, I know he was there. I know he wrestled in Ring of Honor.
Dave Meltzer.
Yeah.
I remember distinctly reading him saying, before Dijak, or when Dijak signed to go to NXT, he says, I'm really surprised that they never pulled the trigger on a Dijak Ring of Honor world title run.
All right.
Because apparently that might have been in the cards. Apparently he was positioned to have that happen.
Are you sure? Or is he just a fan of Donovan Dijak's work?
No, it could totally be that, you know. I mean, I could say I'm totally surprised he never pulled the trigger on a Damian Sandow title run.
Yeah.
You know, and people would be like, really? It's Damian Sandow. Who cares? But I don't know, man.
So he won the top prospect tournament in 2015 in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So he got a TV title shot against Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that because he joined the House of Truth, turning heel. Had a feud with...
Alex C. says, when House of Truth was hot and Jay Lethal was the champion, there were signs of Dijak turning on Lethal and becoming champion.
Oh, all right.
So... So maybe that's where Meltzer is going with that. Maybe it was just something, an angle that they never pulled the trigger on. But I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of figured, I mean, I knew he was no Adam Cole, obviously, but still I kind of figured, you know, they just bring in Chris Dijak. He's just some dude who loses to Ricochet kind of in very unimpressive fashion.
Oh, it was nearly a squash match.
It was exactly. There were shades there. Not in the squash match aspect of things, but some of his mannerisms reminded me of Sid.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like when he caught Ricochet on the outside in the choke slam.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ricochet tried to do a suicide dive, and he just caught him in a choke slam. Mm-hmm. And he went, ah!
Yeah, yeah.
And then he, like, choke slammed on the apron or something, whatever he did. There were some cool bits of this match. The one match I saw with Donovan Dijak, I was surprised that such a big dude would go up to the top rope and do stuff. I'm a little less impressed now because I've seen guys like, you know, Lars Sullivan do similar things, which are more impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Dijak looked kind of clunky last night.
Yeah.
When he would
try to do the springboard stuff.
He would sort of like stumble up to the top and stumble back down.
I think the problem is, or the issue is, we're used to guys who are maybe 6 feet, 6'1" or so doing springboard.
Yeah.
And so they don't have like 4 feet of leg to get under them and get onto the top rope.
Right, yeah.
They bill him as 6'8". I think he is like 6'6" or 6'7".
Yeah.
That's just a lot of human to springboard up.
Really is, yeah.
And there's, I don't know, you know, you can only do that with a certain amount of quickness.
Right, yeah.
And so we're used to a certain amount of fluidity, I think, when people springboard, usually because they're generally smaller. When you're that massive,
yeah,
it just takes them longer to do it.
Yeah. But hey, you know what? I'm pulling for Top Notch.
Yeah,
he's
me
the
too.
Best.
He's the super best.
He's the super best, right? Anyways, Ricochet beat him with that.
Pretty handily.
Insane six. I cannot watch this enough.
Yeah.
That 630.
That senton, yeah.
I cannot watch that enough and not be amazed every single time.
I think
time.
My favorite part about it is he does the full rotation, hits it.
Walks out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just rolls, steps right up, pins him.
Right.
It's so fluid.
Oh, it's
everything
great.
About Ricochet
and
is
then he,
fluid.
He like, had to get his giant, clunky Chris Dijak body.
6'8 body into like, position to get the
into
pin.
Into position for the I know. Pin. He's so big. It's like he doesn't know what to do with himself.
After the match, a winded Ricochet. Oh, I'm happy they finally did the spot with Ricochet where he does the deadlift suplex. Because that's impressive, especially to 280 pounds of
top
Chris,
notch.
Of top notch. And you could tell it was a struggle for him to get him up, but when he got him up, it made it all the more impressive.
Okay, hold on a second. No, you're right. I'm totally glad you mentioned that. Because by the same token, that was impressive on Ricochet's part. But Dijak, that's some serious core strength. Like,
oh, I know.
To help him. Like, it's not really helping him, but it's doing a crunch up to help him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, man, those core muscles are something else there in top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
And the crowd gave Ricochet a good pop for that spot. That's the first time I think he's done it in NXT.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
So he wins. He grabs a mic. He's winded.
Mm-hmm.
Still managed to drop a really good promo.
Mm-hmm.
His promo skills are really shining through since he's come to NXT.
Yeah, they're good.
Velveteen Dream comes out.
Wearing some amazing glasses,
yeah,
by the way.
He's worn those before. A couple
His
weeks back.
His outfit was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, heck yes. And he says, we're going to have a match at TakeOver. He says, you know, we had the spotlight last week, and anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
And then Ricochet proceeded to fairly casually, run towards the ropes, jump over it, do a full 360, land on his feet, on the ramp.
Casually mosey on in one fluid motion from the flip.
Leans into the microphone. Velveteen Dream is holding and says, show me.
Yeah. And the look on Velveteen Dream's face, that they filmed that absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. And his performance was absolutely perfect. He was so beside himself. He was so in shock at what he just saw. You said before we rolled cameras that it looked like a shoot reaction, like it was a real reaction. Yeah. It might have been. I don't know. Maybe he felt, maybe somebody, I hope that somebody told Dream that he was simply going to, like, you know, hop out the ring, walk over to you and tell you that. But he also at one point Dream said, that beautiful face of yours. He had a beautiful face in the crowd.
And Ricochet went,
yeah. Oh, this is going to be match of the year, man.
This is going to be fantastic.
This is going to be match of the freaking year, Larson.
This is going to be fantastic.
Oh,
I can't wait.
I cannot wait. This is going to be match of the flipping year. Oh, it's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Oh, God. What a moment. What an absolute moment. What a feud. Velveteen Dream putting together feuds of the year every year.
Oh, I know.
Man.
I know.
It's great. Anyways, next up we had our main event, Dakota Kai versus Shayna Baszler for WWE Women's Championship.
I'm assuming Dakota Kai is really flexible, because there were a couple instances in this match where Shayna Baszler was stomping on her ankle.
Yeah.
That at the least I would have thought, oh, that's a sprained ankle, if not worse.
Yeah, she definitely can. She's a very good, and I mean this in the most complimentary way, she's a very good beat dummy. Because all the great spots that you've seen Shayna Baszler do, like this stuff here where she kicks the elbow down.
She did the same thing to Dakota Kai's ankle and foot.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And, you know, she positions it so her toes are on the mat with Dakota Kai on her back and her legs are straight and stomps on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just Dakota Kai's really flexible.
It has
really good.
To be. It has to be.
So Dakota Kai, she's not taking all the impact on top of her back of her leg, compressing her foot down that way, which would probably mess things up.
Yeah.
She manages to turn her ankle.
Mm-hmm.
But even when Shayna Baszler was working over her legs in various moves, it's like, gosh.
Yeah.
That's the level of flexibility there is insane.
There is some really, 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 really good storytelling character stuff. Of course, obviously, the match starts off with Dakota Kai not really wanting to get too involved in the match. She keeps on just getting back down in the corner. And
Shayna would like fake, like she's going to punch
her.
She'd
mad dog her, basically.
And they
kick
her legs out from under her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then eventually, Dakota Kai got to the point where it was either just completely get annihilated or fight back, and she chose to fight back, delivered a couple of really good kicks. Yeah. Shayna had already done a lot of damage to those knees, to the legs.
Yeah.
But Dakota Kai did manage to get off. I guess it's her finisher these days, isn't it? It's like the thing where she like runs.
No, that's her signature.
Face.
Her finisher is like the she set up for it, and then Shayna reversed it and got her in the choke.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's her finisher.
Okay.
But before that, yeah, Dakota Kai was in an ankle lock for a long time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Dakota Kai had to tap out, got choked out.
Mm-hmm.
After the bell, Shayna puts Dakota back in the chokehold. Nikki Cross comes out and makes the save.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this weird thing where there's a little bit of a brawl. Shayna leaves the ring. The belt's still in the ring. And then Nikki Cross goes to Dakota Kai and says, I think she says, I want you to count it. So she says, I want you to be the ref.
She said, you and me, let's fight right now for this. And then she brings Dakota Kai over. She says exactly that. She says, she gives her the belt. She says, you're the ref. And then Dakota Kai was like, okay. And she like put the belt down. Or no, she held the belt up because, you know,
it's a title match now.
She's the ref. So she was playing along with it. She don't know what to do. Yeah. She was a mess. And then so she puts the title down in the corner. And then
Nikki Cross hit her finisher.
Yeah.
Got the pin.
And Dakota Kai went right down there and counted
the
three.
Pinfall, I know.
Nikki Cross grabbed the title. She leaves with it. And Shayna Baszler was like, you didn't win. You didn't beat.
Wasn't
you didn't win
match.
Anything. It
wasn't
a real match.
Wasn't a real match.
So it was highly entertaining.
Yeah, it was a fun ending.
And the crowd was eating it up. Looks like we're going to get Nikki Cross versus Shayna Baszler at TakeOver Chicago. So that'll be a lot of fun. Kind of wish that Dakota Kai got to be special guest referee there. See this out to the end.
Oh, I know. That'd be great.
So that'd be really cool. But no, it was a packed, just a packed episode of NXT.
Yeah, it really was.
It was really fantastic. Anyways, Larson, would you like to answer some questions?
Sure.
Now?
First, from I'm Not Baron Corbin.
Hey.
Suppose you're Triple H and Vince approaches you and says he wants you to pick one member of the current NXT roster to call up to the main roster and immediately pushed to the main event scene as a potential top star.
Top notch.
The catch is that if the push fails in any way, crowd rejects it, ratings dip, etc. Vince says he'll never push another NXT star to the top of the card again.
Oh.
Who do you take the gamble on?
Who is the surefire bet? Who is the absolute surefire bet? How do you not say Aleister Black? It's either him or Ricochet.
Yeah.
It's one of those two guys. Velveteen Dream, you never know, because creative, there are a couple guys who are surefire. I feel like it's Aleister Black and it's Ricochet.
Yeah.
Ricochet, like you said, Ricochet might be number one because you mentioned this before.
He's going to get over on his athleticism and his in-ring.
All you got to do is put him in the ring. Doesn't matter if it's for 2 minutes, 20 minutes, or 2 hours, he will get over.
Yeah.
Like he will be over.
And his mic work's good enough now where that's only going to help him.
Yeah.
It won't hold him back. Colin, was your reaction to Ricochet flip out of the ring the same as mine in Dreams? I saw Karen losing it too. That was one of the greatest athletic feats I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
Ricochet is the best.
Nemo adds, Dream's shocked face was great tonight. Which wrestler has best shocked face? Liam Wagner here in the response has
Cole.
The correct answer. It's Adam Cole, baby.
It's Adam Cole.
Oh, man. Great freaking. This isn't even really a question here. Mike Demopoulos. I love Nikki Cross. Watching her last night was magic. But as I did, I couldn't help but think Nikki Cross is everything Dean Ambrose should be. Yay or nay? Absolutely yay. I agree with that completely.
100%.
A true lunatic fringe.
Yes.
Do you think, is there any chance, or are they just jam-packed right now on the road to Money in the Bank? Any chance they're holding off on Sanity until they notice the reaction?
Maybe.
That Nikki Cross's absence?
Maybe.
Could be.
Could be.
How great would that be if they kept on teasing just the guys and then... And
then she joins them.
Sanity's music hits during like a women's match on SmackDown. The guys appear at the stage. She comes up from behind.
Yeah, runs into the
crowd. Would go ape.
Oh, heck yes.
Because they're not expecting that.
Ranch dressing wrestling. Book the Gargano Ciampa feud, but how Vince Russo would book it.
No. No. Because I don't want to disrespect Candice LeRae. She's
yep.
a gem.
She is.
And that's one thing that I noticed last night when I was like, man, when they showed her tweet, I was like, can she just please wrestle now?
I know.
Can she have a match at TakeOver, please?
I know.
Because you know what she's going to do at TakeOver? She's going to be concerned for her husband.
I know.
And freaking after that, the following NXT TV taping, she needs to be in all the matches, okay? Let her freaking wrestle.
Did you see Joey Ryan's tweet? He said they have... Candice LeRae is the Luke of Return of the Jedi, but NXT is booking her like the Luke of The Last Jedi.
Well, I disagree with his assertion on The Last Jedi. However, I agree with the sentiment. They have something. They have gold on their hands,
and they're not utilizing it correctly.
They're more actually booking. No, they're booking her like Luke from A New Hope. Mm. He was useless in that.
Mm.
Absolutely useless
until the end. I mean, he destroyed the Death Star, so he wasn't.
Oh,
totally
that's
useless.
True. Yeah. Well, he wouldn't have done that.
The first half of a new.
He wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for Han Solo.
It's true. Well, actually, it was Obi-Wan that really led him in that direction. In terms of having the wherewithal to do it, Han directly facilitated his ability.
Yes,
to get that last
exactly.
Shot.
Directly, exactly.
But without Obi-Wan guiding the way, he would not have been mature enough to do it.
Would have been Porkins.
No, Porkins died pretty quickly.
Or Porkins.
I know. Disco Gumby, considering Buddy Murphy's move to 205 Live has been stellar since leaving NXT, which member of 205 Live roster do you wish you could have seen had a career in NXT? He says Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with that. Hard to argue with that.
More Mustafa Ali, the better.
Drew Gulak. Imagine him in NXT. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
That would have been really fun.
He could have done some good character stuff there.
And they let them wrestle more.
It's true.
I'm reading this really long question from Hunter Rook. I'm assuming you're doing the same.
No, that's an interesting question.
Go ahead.
With EC3, War Raiders, and Ricochet and NXT now, Adam Cole winning the North American Championship, Roderick Strong being in Undisputed Era after his turn on Pete Dunne, of course, the Gargano-Ciampa feud more than likely being the main event again, does it seem like Aleister Black winning the belt and being the 13th NXT champion is overshadowed by all the other stories, and do you think it will hurt his credibility as a champion? And will he not be as big as we thought he would be? I think right now, to a slight degree, yes.
There are a lot of show stealers on NXT.
But after he beats Lars, he will move on eventually to a higher profile feud with one of these people mentioned in this question, and then that will be the main event feud, probably leading to the next takeover in Brooklyn.
So I'll say this. He's definitely not as overshadowed as, like, Almas kind of was.
Yeah.
Almas was a very, like, we were both big fans of him. But, you know, it was kind of an underwhelming title run, you know. I mean, he had some great matches. But you're going to be overshadowed by the Undisputed Era. They're immensely entertaining. And even last night, like, the one thing that disappointed me was we didn't get a promo. I am so used now to turning on NXT and getting the Playground promo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so – the Monkey Bars promo. I'm so used to that. It's so great. But luckily, they're on Twitter a lot doing their video promos. So there was another one, I think, yesterday that came out.
Booey, booey, bum, bum. While you're in the shower, do you ever do the Randy Orton pose while rinsing your armpits?
I'll be honest. No, I don't.
I haven't either.
I have not done that.
Maybe I'll try that, though.
I might try it. Yeah.
But then you have to do it the other way to get the other...
Yeah.
The other pit clean.
I like that four people upvoted that.
Don't call me Lawler. Do you remember on The Simpsons when Mr. Burns could never remember Homer's name? Name a current WWE veteran whose name Vince McMahon still probably doesn't know. I love the story when Raven came back to WWE and Vince realized, oh, we re-signed Johnny Polo?
Yeah.
He didn't even know the company signed Raven.
Didn't Gallows say that Vince McMahon didn't realize that he was Festus before?
Oh, yeah. That sounds right.
That's great. Name a current veteran whose name you probably still doesn't know. I'm trying to
Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, he probably doesn't know Kurt Hawkins' name. You're probably right about that. He probably doesn't know Chad Gable's name.
Yeah.
He knows who Shelton is.
Yeah.
Trying to think of other people.
Do you think he knows Kane's real name?
Oh, yeah.
What about Big Show?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I did call him Paul White upon his debut, so I guess he'd
I think he knows all that. Big Show makes a lot of money.
That's true.
He knows Mark Henry. I think he knows all the New Day. I think he's big fans of the New Day.
Can you tell Harper and Roan apart?
No!
All right.
He can't!
All right.
He cannot!
All right. Tommy T, hey, friend. So, in my opinion, Seth Rollins has been the best wrestler in WWE so far this year, but he doesn't have much of a character beyond being an outstanding wrestler. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I see your point. But my question is, in 2018, name three from NXT and 205 Live, and three from the main roster that are doing the best character work so far. Velveteen Dream is doing some of the best character work in all of WWE right now.
Yeah. Lars Sullivan's doing really good character work right now. And Nikki Cross is doing unparalleled character work.
Drew Gulak and Mustafa Ali, I feel like, are doing the best character work on 205 Live.
I think Buddy Murphy's doing really well.
Yeah, he's
too.
Doing really well, too.
He's doing really good.
I think just I mentioned Mustafa because of those promos he was doing earlier this year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That was some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
WWE produced this year, period. I think
Andrew Gulak is a good one, yeah.
On the main roster, who's doing some of the best character work right now? Nakamura.
Yeah.
His character work's been really good since he turned heel.
Yeah.
Braun.
Braun, for sure.
I mean, you can't not mention the New Day.
Yeah, true.
Their character work's always great.
Carmella. And a lot of people poo-poo that, but man, I think she's doing fantastic.
Yeah, I think she's doing really good character work too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Where's my title? Says the rumor now is that NXT will air on Fox Sports 1.
Oh wow!
As part of that, part of the TV deal.
That'd be interesting.
So should NXT stay taped, or should NXT go live? Have you read the newsletter this week yet?
Not yet. No.
So Meltzer brings up that. The big thing is live. Like Fox wants much live stuff. I would assume that would mean they might start going live because that seems to be what people want. What is that thing you're reading right there?
This is just
We'll talk about it for sure on the dirt sheet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to read up on it. So anyways, we'll talk on the dirt sheet. But it's just somebody's tweet saying NXT will air on Fox Sports 1 programming.
It's a TV deal. Slice Wrestling, yeah.
Slice Wrestling, yeah.
And they've been rights before.
Okay.
So yeah, I would think that they might try to shift over to a live thing.
They have the money for it now.
They definitely have the money for it, yeah.
What if they do this? This would be interesting. What if they do live NXT 205 Live back-to-back?
Oh, wow. That'd be cool. Yeah. Like in the same...
Like NXT will air live on Fox Sports, and right afterwards,
mm-hmm.
go to the network, you can watch 205 Live.
Oh.
All from Full Sail.
All from Full Sail, yeah. Yeah. I wonder... Yeah, that could be.
That way you get 205 Live in the smaller venue. Hotter crowd.
They would really need... Yeah. Yeah, that could be good. That could be good. They would really need at that point, though, to... Like, just from a fan's perspective, I know you're going to agree with this, they would need a path to main from 205.
Oh, yeah.
They would have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, just with the talk of TJP trying to go to SmackDown, that gives me hope that they realize that, too.
I would hope so, yeah. I would definitely hope so. Boy, that'd be something. If that happens, that would give me lots of hope. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That would be good. That'd be very good. Kyle O'Reilly's air guitar. Would you rather see the Undisputed Era stay in NXT or see them stay as a faction but go to New Japan? I'd rather stay in NXT.
Yeah.
And then go to Maine as a faction.
Yep.
We've had this question before, but I'll answer it again because it's always fun. From Adam Nuttall, Steve Zodiac Killer.
Mm.
With the Super Juniors on now, what would be some dream matches between 205 Live and the Super Juniors? Will Ospreay versus Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, that has to be tops.
Who would you like to see Buddy Murphy face?
Ticking time bomb.
Oh! Whoa.
Who? What about Mustafa Ali? Kushida.
Yeah, Kushida. There you go.
All good stuff.
All good answers.
All great answers. Not just good. The best.
Anyways. Is that it for show today?
Sure.
All right. Sounds good. Let me turn this on. Hilton, hey, wake up. Can you give us some music, please? Thank you, Hilton. He's on firing on all cylinders today.
I'm not.
Good show today. Hey, you know what, man? I wouldn't know it if you didn't say it, because you were great this episode.
I can turn it on when I need to.
Sometimes you can. Today you did.
I'm going to go get me some Five Guys. I'm going to feel like
a million
bucks.
No, don't do it, man. You're going to feel horrible.
You're not the boss of me, Steve.
You're going to feel terrible, Lars. Until next time.
In what respect am I going to feel terrible?
It's terrible for you. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.